Morning Talmidim, this week's parsha, a new concept brought down. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron that when you go to Paroi, you're going to need some type of a moifes, tenulach a moifes, a sign, some type of a sign that you should see that you're not people to mess around with. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, kaches matcha, take your stick, hashlech my Paroi, throw it down, yilasan, it'll turn into a snake. And then the pasuk continues, when they came to Paroi, that's what they did. And Paroi said, you're going to stop playing tricks with me? I'm your brother in tricks. I can outsmart you in tricks. He called his chachamim and his mechashvim, his kishuv machers, people that make kishuv. So I think it's the first time in the Torah that we see the concept of kishuv. He called people to make kishuv. Vayasu gam hem chatum tzayim bilahateim kein. Bilahateim, Rashi explains. But if we go a few psukim later and we talk about dam, take your staff and teis yotkum atech al nahoris al yoyim al gamim, is even by tzvadeya, by the different makas, dam tzvadeya, kinim, vayasu kein, the mechashvim did bilahateim, again, what's going on here? What's happening over here? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show Paroi a message, and Paroi can do the same thing, why is that a message? And what's the mechashvim bilateyem? So Rashi brings down that there's a difference when it comes to these higher forces. There is a difference between bilateyem and baholeateyem. When we talk about the staff, v'yasu kein, Chatume Mitzrayim bilahateihem. And when it comes to the makas by Dam Tzvadeya, it doesn't have that extra hay. Bilateihem without the extra hay. So what's the difference? Why bilateihem, not bilahateihem? So Rashi says there's a difference. There's a difference between Shadim and there's a difference between Kishuv. To understand, Shadim and Kishuv is not something that we're very familiar with. There are big tzaddikim that understand those higher forces. And lahavdu, there are unfortunately koiches atumah that understand that. But we could just repeat what the Rashi brings down and what some Rishonim and Achronim bring down about the concept of Shadim and the concept of Kishuv as it's brought down in this week's parasha. So Rashi brings down the difference, bilotem b'haltem. And some of the Rishonim bring down the difference that Shadim don't necessarily have the koyach to change anything. Shadim have the koyach since they're above. For them, the world is one place. Well, it's not a very big place, the world, for them. So they can bring from one place to another place, they can bring things. So suddenly they could put a car into the room over here. They could bring a car from elsewhere and drop it off over here. That's the koyach of a shade. The shade has that. But the shade is not changing. The shindal, we call it shindal, they grew up. We didn't even want to say the word. So the shade have the koyach to bring from one place to another place because they're bigger than the place. And they could, for them, it's nothing. Kishuv is something very different. Kishuv changes the structure of the Bria. Kishuv has the ability to change something that was supposed to be one way and mix it in something else. It can take something that's solid, make it into liquid. The liquid into solid. It can turn this place into a flame. Turn this. Kishuv has the ability to change. Someone that's alive could be dead. Someone that's a human could be an animal. These are all things that change the mahus of the world. And we know the Torah says that mechashef, someone that does kishuv, someone that changes anything that's supposed to be in the world, mechashef lo yisachayah. You can't let them live. And the Gemara says, it doesn't say mois yumas, that someone that does kishuv you have to kill. Lois sechaya, you have to take them to Rashi says, Thomas for Bezdin, you have to take them to Bezdin, and Bezdin has to kill them, achlik esayah for skila. Yet the someone that changes things that the world is supposed to be, and you change it, you make it to something else, that you can't live in this world. You can't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run the way it is. And if you think that you're going to change something, not only Mois Timos Asay, it's a Lois Asay. Lois Chai, you can't let them live. You have to kill them right away. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the concept of Kishuv, why did he create it? If Mechashev Ulo Zechaya, we see by Mitzrayim Kishuv, we see that there's a concept of Kishuv throughout Torah Tanakh, the whole concept of Kishuv. So if you don't want a stronger force, or you don't want a different force that could change things, so why is there such a concept of Kishuv? The Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin brings down and alludes to a story about Shimon ben Shatach. Shimon ben Shatach, probably many of you have heard the story, hanged 80 machashefas in one day. He hung up 80 machashefas in one day. So what was the story of Shimon ben Shatach? Interesting story. There was a person by the name of Banya. This Banya worked for the government. He would collect the taxes, and he was an Adam Rasha. He was a terrible person. He would make people pay more than they needed to. He would pocket money. He wasn't a good person. A Rasha. This Banya died. The day that he died, a great tzaddik also passed away. And both Leviathans were held at the same time. So the Medrash brings down, during the Leviathan, the tzaddik had all of his tamidim, hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know how many tamidim, baglait, the Aron of their Rebbe. And this Rasha had a few of his family members, nobody else. He was a Rasha, so nobody else came to the Levaya. In the middle of the Levaya, a whole bunch of thieves or terrorists came, scared away the Olam, and everybody dropped the Aron on the floor, and everybody ran away. Besides, one Talmud of the Tzaddik stayed there not to let his Rebbe alone. And after things cleared up, everybody came back, and there was a mistake. The people thought that the Aron of the Rasha was really the Rebbe, and the Aron of the Rebbe was really the Aron of the Rasha. And this Talmud was telling people, no, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. Not everybody else is making a mistake. And it ended up that this Rasha Baya had a Lovaya with hundreds of thousands of Talmidei Chachamim, and this Rebbe had nobody besides this one Talmud and the family members of the Rasha. So this Talmud felt terrible. What's going on here? How could Rebbe, he was such a big tzaddik in his Levaya. So his Rebbe came to him in a dream that night. And his Rebbe tells him, listen, look at my chelik in Olam Haba. He showed him the chelik in Olam Haba. It was a beautiful chelik in Olam Haba. So he says, I have my chelik in Olam Haba, and I deserved the punishment that I received. And let me show you where this Baya the Rasha is now. Look at his chelik in Gehenna. And he also deserved the payment that he got. So the Talmud asks, what happened? So the Rebbe tells him that I once heard that someone was mevaza Talmud Chacham. Someone embarrassed the Talmud Chacham. He said, that person, not a Talmud Chacham, he's nothing. I don't know exactly what the embarrassment was, but he embarrassed the Talmud Chacham. He was mevaza Talmud Chacham. And the Rebbe was not moicha. He didn't say it's wrong. We shouldn't be mevaza Talmud Chacham. He didn't stand up for the cover of the Talmud Chacham. That's why I got punished. The cover of the Rup was taken away during his Levaya. He says that Baya, he once made a big suda for many of the executives. He worked for the government, so he made a very big suda for the executives. And the suda ended up being canceled the last minute. So he took his entire suda and he gave it to the Aniyim. The poor people should have what to eat. So in the schus of him being so caring that for one suda he gave to the Aniyim, that's why he's getting the covet of the people to be Malava, his Aron. So you see the schar for it was really a convenience. What should he do with all the food? What's he going to do? Throw it to the dogs? What's he going to do? So he gave it. So even for that little thing, he gets that tremendous amount of schar. So this Talmud asks, but how long is this Baya going to be in that Gehenna that he's in? How long is that Gzeira for Gehenna? So the Rebbe tells him he's going to be in Gehenna until Shimon ben Shatach, who is from the Sanhedrin, is going to die. And then Shimon ben Shatach is going to take his place in Gehenna. What? Talmud asks, what? Shimon ben Shatach is going to go to Gehenna? So he asks the Rebbe, why? So the Rebbe tells him, because there are machashefas in Ashkelon, witchcraft, people that are practicing witchcraft, And he's not doing a din with them. He's letting them live. Therefore, says in the pasuk, "Mechashev v'loy sechaya," he is letting them live. That's why he's going to get that punishment. And with that, woke up from his nightmare. Woke up tittering, he was shivering, and he runs right away to Shimon ben Shatach. And he tells Shimon ben Shatach, "I have to tell you about this dream that I just had." And he tells him there is 80 mechashevus in Ashkelon. You have to do something about it. And Shimon ben Shatach kept that tittering, and he says, "Okay, let me go check it out and let me find out." Shimon ben Shatach gathered together 80 bacharim, tall bacharim, very, very, the tallest people. And it was a very rainy day. The Medrash tells us it was a pouring, it was raining. And he took it, Medrash is a talus, and he folded a talus and put it into some type of a container. And he told them, "Listen, come with me, 80 bacharim. We're going to go to this and this house. You wait outside. I will tell you when to come inside. And when, right before you come inside, you're going to take out the talus that's in that container, you put it on, and you're going to walk in with me. And each of you are going to grab one of the mechashvas, and you're going to pick them up above ground and hold them up. Hold them up." Okay, and that's what happened. Shimon ben Shatach walked together with 80 bacharim, these tall, arrived in the house, knocked on the door, and so a voice asked, "Who is there?" So he said, "I'm a mechashev. I'm a kishev mach. I do kishev. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to show you something new that you've never seen before." So they opened up the door and they asked him, "Meshatach, what are you going to show us?" So he says, "I will show you that you see it's pouring rain outside. I will open up the door. 80 dry bachrim are going to come inside and you could see that they're all going to be dry." So they started laughing. He said, "Okay, bring them in." Shimon Shatach closed the door, walked outside, winked to them all. They all took out their towels, put it on. They all walked into the house, and they were all dry because they just put it on. And they each went to one of the mechashefus to feel that the taka dry. And as soon as they came to feel, the bachor picked up the mechashefus, held them up. And the way kishev works, that if you're above ground, kishev doesn't have kayach. Kishev doesn't have a kayach. And with that, they held them up. Shimon ben Shatach hanged all 80 of the mechashefas to be mekayim the pasuk mechashefa lo sechaya. It's a very fascinating story. The Medrash goes on and says other problem with the story, which is not really the guy to hear. But what is going on over here? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the concept of kishuv, why is it created? And if there is mechashefa lo sechaya, what's happening over here? So the question bring down, and again, it's a very tufus again, and it's not that I'm so well versed in it, but it happens to be that I have to do some research about it, and it piqued my interest. And I'm sure sometimes Hamidim will hear from me not to whistle with the mouth. Right? And I say that when I was growing up, my grandfather always told us, "Don't whistle with the mouth, because whistling with the mouth is the language that the Shadim speak, so it could attract Shadim." So it's a sensitivity. Not to listen again. That's not your Messiah. Whatever you do at home, you do at home. But it's something which we grew up with. So we grew up with that concept. But we never actually learned about Shadim, and we never dwelled into the whole concept of Kishuv. What's going on? The Teretz is on the Mufarshim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, created many forces in this world. Yet a Yid has to live Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. You follow the guidelines of the Torah. You are not to get yourself involved in the different forces that are out there. There is a purpose why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created those forces in this world. It's not for us. It's not for us to dabble in. It's not for us to put ourselves into it. It's not for us to practice it. Just the opposite. We are not allowed to practice it. We are not allowed to do it. The whole similar day, Kifa and Tes, that goes through the halachas of Kishuv, Achizes and Naim, all the different things that the halachas. So clearly, if there's so many halachas and there's so much written in the Torah about the mechashvim, there is a message over here to us. The message is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all these different forces. Not for us. Don't touch. Don't get involved. Not that we're hiding this from you. No, it's in the pasuk. But this is not something that we should get ourselves involved in. What is another word for that? The concept that there is something, but it's not for me. There's an English word called boundaries. Another thing, another example. There is a boundary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, created something that is not your place and don't even touch it and don't even go close to it. So when we talk about boundaries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that established it in this world. I will create all different types of forces. I will create all different types of galaxies and powers and things that the world needs for whatever reason we don't understand and don't need to understand. Because we have a mitzvah of Tomem, Tiyeh, Mashem, Alekecho. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that's what we do. We don't go try to find ways of changing the process of the world, the structure of the world. That's not our role. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it? For whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Maybe for the Mitzrayim, for the Mechashvim. Yet we know that Machashev HaLoisichai, we can't get involved in those things. One of the strongest concepts of boundaries. It's here. It exists. We're not hiding it. Don't touch it and don't go there. It's not our place. Eitz Hadas. Don't touch it and don't go there. There are certain things. We're not looking to hide it from you. We're not looking to... No, we're looking for you to understand there is such a thing and you don't go there. So if we learn the concept of boundaries at a younger age, then when we get older age, we're healthy. We're prepared. We know what yes, what not. We know that there's a Rav to ask. There's a Rebbe to ask. We follow the Torah's guidances. And yes, there are higher powers, greater powers, different types of powers going on in the world. That's not our place. To bring down the concept of boundaries, just an example of yesterday. Just a simple, nothing of kishav and nothing of change. There's a moise that's doing one of these crowdfunding fundraisers. Tell the Bachram to call their family and friends. They should call their friends to make phone calls to raise money for the yeshiva. So yesterday I get a phone call from an alumnus. Happens quite often. The Bachram that were in yeshiva, they call their family and friends. Even if it may not be family with them, but we feel close enough that they consider themselves friends. So they call us, Baruch Hashem, we get discussed to be a chelik and supporting all the moedas and that. So yesterday, the Talmud calls me, if I can get the date to his yeshiva's collect. Asked him if he can call my Gabbai Tzedakah, Steve Jobs, but whatever, okay. It wasn't available. There's some other Gabbai Tzedakahs that we have, but they weren't available. So okay, he asked me if it's okay if I text Rebbe the link to make a donation. I said, okay, text the link. Now, when we were growing up, there was no such musik that you're going to ask your Rebbe for money for something else. It's just like family and friends, a family member. It wasn't like you're going to call a Rebbe that was... Okay. But today's new culture, things changed. And each one should feel whatever boundary they feel comfortable. A few minutes later, I get another text message from the Talmud. But this time, it's like a Langa Megillus Esther. I'm like, look, what's he writing in that text message? So he asked me, Rebbe, thank you for helping our yeshiva. Does Rebbe also mind sending me the phone numbers of Rabbi, Mr. Every staff member that ever worked in the yeshiva, or anyone, a list of 24 names, he asked me if I can send them phone numbers to. A list of 24 names. Please send me all these phone numbers. And I'm like, he's for real? A few minutes later, he sends a question mark. No. I just asked you for something. Send me 24 names and 24 numbers of these names. Like, no. At times, you have people that are completely mufka of the concept of a boundary. I'm not talking about kishuv yet. But it has to start somewhere here in order to understand that when we get older and there's maybe other things that may interest us not to go there, but it has to start now. It is a complete boundaries crossing to think that I'm your secretary. Did I chas v'shalom tell him that? No, because I would make him feel bad. I don't want to make him feel bad. Instead, I reached out to his father and I told his father, your son is cute. He wanted to hire me as his personal secretary, but I feel bad I'm not available. So, and his father said, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, no, he didn't. Just let him know in a nice way that it may not be so appropriate. It wasn't offensive to me. Poor child that didn't have the proper boundaries. Certain things you don't do. So our boy said, when we talk about boundaries, when we remind the boys about boundaries, it may be almost as if a joke, okay, Rabbi Tenenbaum again with the same line. But ultimately, if we learn it, we will be healthy and we'll be able to follow the Tamam Tiyeh in Hashem Alekecha, and we won't have to get to the Bar Ura Mikrebecha and not have to get to those forces. We spoke about it because it's in this week's parsha, and it's because of some research that I have to do on the topic of Kishuv right now.